All right, welcome to episode 94 of the Bobbycast. And Cassidy Pope is here.
Hi.
Welcome to the house.
Thanks for having me.
Is like a disaster.
Yeah, it's so ugly.
No, I kept the lights off downstairs because they're closed. I just came from a photo shoot. And so
look good, Bobby.
Thanks.
Got your hair done.
I got a cool jacket on. I have makeup on. Man, do I look good. I'm going to tell you the truth.
I look good in makeup.
Like, most of the time, I'm like, you know, I'm fine. Like,
so that's not all for me?
I'm like, it is not.
Dang it.
Like, I'm a solid 6.5. When I put makeup on, I'm a 7.3.
You know, you don't give yourself enough credit. You look wonderful.
Well, thank you. But that's why usually people come in and I'm in sweats and I'm a little underdressed. Like when Barry Dean was here, I was just in my whitey tidies the whole time.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
Yeah.
I bet he loved it.
Yeah. So, how are you? You good?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You brought cookies?
I brought you guys some cookies. Okay. All right. I didn't bake them. All right.
You don't have to tell on yourself.
We haven't even seen them yet.
I got nervous.
I couldn't keep that lie
going.
Where'd
you get the cookies from?
Okay. This is going to sound so bad. It was this lovely woman who was one of the chaperones for Christmas for Kids. On Tuesday night, she gave me a massive bag of cookies.
So you're just re-gifting the cookies.
Yes. I apologize. I'm not good at baking or cooking or any of that. So, but I couldn't come empty-handed.
Well, we were cookie-less before you got here, and now we have cookies.
Yay! And they were made by a wonderful woman named Linda with love.
Yeah.
Way better than anything I would have baked, so.
What have you been doing the holidays?
Oh, my gosh. My family's all here. My mom and sister live here, so that's fun. And
So are the rest of them here, too?
Well, my grandma's here, but the rest of them are coming next week. So it'll be pretty crazy.
Are you hosting the holidays?
I am.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm not cooking. My mom and sister are the cooks of the family, and I take care of the booze and hosting and going around making sure all the glasses are full. And
how old is your sister?
She's 31.
So she's an older sister.
Yeah.
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 And they live here?
They do. Yeah. We're all from Florida, and I came here first about 5 years ago. My sister came here 2 years ago. My mom just came here in May. Like, the perfect timing, too, because that's when all, like, my whole life changed. So.
And they moved here from?
From West Palm Beach, Florida.
Man, it's much warmer there.
It is. My mom was just there. But, although, she said at night it was 40 degrees, so.
Yeah, but nobody goes outside at night.
That's true.
That's like the lows when I do the weather on the radio. That's like the low is 22. But no one's awake for the low.
Yeah, you're not going to go
so
like...
So really, who cares?
Yeah, you're not going to have a beer on the patio.
Back in the day, we used to have to leave the water running so the pipes wouldn't freeze. So
you
have to keep it drip.
Yeah.
Totally.
And now you don't really have to do that as much because the pipes are robots, basically.
Yeah.
So.
The Christmas for Kids thing, we take a tour bus from the school and bring them all to Walmart and go shopping with them and stuff. And they had to turn the plumbing off on the bus. So all the kids had like Coke and like pizza at this pizza party. And they all were like, I have to pee.
There's plumbing on a bus? It's not a school bus then.
It's a tour bus. Yeah, it's pretty cool. All the bus companies are amazing and they give these buses for a night and they're just like, they're so kind to do that. But yeah, the poor kids couldn't pee on the bus.
That's okay. You don't want to pee on the bus anyway.
No, it's not great.
You can't pee on a school bus. So you're okay.
That's true.
What's the Christmas for Kids thing? So you go.
So it's basically a school in Hendersonville. They take all the kids there that are underprivileged and give them a chance to go to Walmart, and they have a $150 budget to be able to go and shop. And a bunch of people get involved, a bunch of artists, a bunch of just, you know, volunteers that come. And the first year I went, I did a signing, which they do every year as well, where people pay to come on the tour bus the night before and do a signing with a bunch of artists. Hunter's done it and Alabama's done it. And that year they were like, yeah, and you can also go shopping with the kids. And I was like, I want to do that. That sounds fun. And so I did it last year. And it was sweet. It's sad, you know, the kids are like, you're afraid to be like, do you want to get presents for your parents? And you just don't know what they're going to say. And, you know, last year the dad actually showed up and they're not supposed to show up at Walmart. It was this whole thing and they're really, really good at with security, making sure the kids are okay. But, yeah, that was a weird thing. And this year the boy was like, yeah, I'll get my mom a necklace, but my dad's not really around. And so it's just sad, but you gotta like, you just have to treat them like nothing's wrong. This is fun. We're going to have fun. And you kind of take them away from their crap at home, you know.
They know who you are.
No. No. Not at all. No. They're like,
I don't know your artist.
Oh, are you the singer we're supposed to be hanging out with? I was like, no, I'm just somebody.
That's
just
funny.
A person.
Kids, how old are the kids?
They were from like 7 to 12.
So they're not Cassidy Pope fans.
No. No. They definitely don't listen. They probably don't. I don't think they listen to country music. They were trying to pull up like crazy stuff on my phone. And I was like, yeah, we're not doing that. Like, really inappropriate rap songs. I'm like, Linda's getting upset. Let's put that away.
That's fine. I've been to places before where I'm supposed to be the celebrity. I'm doing finger quotes where nobody has any idea.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that kind of makes it feel like you're doing it for the right reasons. Like, I mean, I looked pretty similar to how I look now, like crap with
no
makeup
like crap.
Or anything.
And Cassidy's wearing gold tennis shoes. Rolled up, slightly capri-ish blue jeans.
Yeah.
Tan orangish sweater.
Yeah, it's like probably like salmon.
You look wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, it's like a baggy outfit day.
You look wonderful.
Oh, thanks.
Well, so I haven't seen you for a bit. I guess we've talked a few times, but I haven't seen you like in professional world in a bit.
Yeah, kind of just took the year to step away for a minute. Had to go through some transitions on all fronts, music, personal, everything. And it was kind of amazing and terrible at the same time. But, like, I loved stepping back and, you know, all my friends had such a big year and I got to enjoy it and watch and not be, you know, consumed with my stuff. I could actually, like, root for them in a way where it was just, like, I wasn't in the back of my head thinking, okay, what am I doing next? It was kind of nice, but not going to lie, it was the hardest year of my life.
So musically, you're not with your record label anymore, which was Big Machine label group. And that's who you were assigned to after The Voice? So how does that work? Because you win The Voice,
season three.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, 5 years ago.
Wow, so that was about the time when I came to town, too.
Oh,
I guess
really?
We kind of came to town around the same time.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, I think you just beat me, because I haven't been here 5 years yet.
No way. I feel like, wow. I could have sworn.
Just because
you've been here
I dominate doesn't mean I've been here.
That is amazing.
No, but I think you beat me, because you would have had...
I came...
I think Wasting... What was your first song?
Wasting All These Tears.
Yeah, I think that was already happening whenever I got here.
And you left me.
So that... Yeah, this was a thing.
There it is.
So when you finish that show, they go, okay, you're going to Nashville?
Well, I wanted to. I was like, I want to do country. I sang country as a kid. I did the rock thing and I loved it. But when I went on The Voice, I started singing like all the songs that I sang as a kid. I sang Cry as a kid. That was my finale song. And I didn't sing Over You as a kid, but like I wanted to do that. Like Blake didn't care. He was like, do you? And then it felt so good. And I was still listening to country and I thought, well, I could totally do a country thing where I can still incorporate my pop and rock influences. So I really wanted to come to Nashville. I lived in LA for a few years before The Voice. I didn't feel super embraced there. I didn't really feel like I fit in. And so I came here
Didn't fit in?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Took me a minute to get accepted. And I was going back and forth from LA to Nashville. And that's like, it's funny, you know, no matter how much you tell people, no, like I'm in it. Like this is it. I'm not trying to do a crossover thing. I love country music. They're like, uh-huh, yeah, okay. Until you move here full time, it's like they don't really embrace you that much. And I got lucky. I had some great people behind me, and you know, I got signed to Big Machine label group, and that was awesome. But
was that part of the deal of The Voice? Like, if you won The Voice, or like, I know on Idol, I have friends that have been on Idol, and now I have friends that have been on The Voice, but now The Voice, they don't put out people that people care about anymore. It's more about the TV show.
It's two seasons a year. It
yeah,
doesn't give
lot.
People enough
yeah.
time to really digest artists and like
I have
sit
no idea.
With it.
I have no idea who's won the last. I don't know who's won any seasons except for you and Danielle only because I know you. I've never actually watched The Voice.
Yeah, I literally can't anymore.
Anxiety. I wish I knew more questions because I don't.
Well, okay, so yeah,
they signed you to
it's Universal.
Okay,
and I was the first country artist to win, so I was like, okay, I don't want to be signed to Universal New York. I want to, or LA. I need to be in Nashville. So let's figure this out. And thankfully, I got also a management deal with Irving Azoff from that show, and who you know manages. I know you know,
Eagles,
but yeah,
he's
a big dude.
Probably the biggest manager in the history of managers.
Yeah,
probably.
He's the dude,
yeah, and still right now, huge.
John Mayer.
Yeah,
and, yeah, and so he actually left the management company I was supposed to get signed to, but he took me with him. I got so lucky, and he was like, yeah, we'll just renegotiate the deal and you'll just go to Nashville if that's what you want. So it was like not even really the kosher way of doing things for when you come off that show, but he figured it out, and he alongside my day-to-day Tina Kennedy, and they were just so great with that. But I inherited this deal. It was awesome at first, and it's hard because usually when you're with the label, they get to know you. They have time to really sit with you and develop you. And I didn't have that time. And it was like, well, why wouldn't we just put something out as soon as we can and strike while the iron's hot and, you know, while people are paying attention? And so we did. And we re-released Frame by Frame, which was, I still love that album. I'm proud of it. But you can definitely hear there's a little confusion. There's like some identity crisis.
That's what Danielle says too.
Yeah.
She was like, man, it was like, show's over. Okay, let's go pick songs.
Yeah.
You have a day, pick some songs, and then go sing them and get them out immediately.
Yeah, yeah. And I loved it. I got to come here and write, and I wrote half the album, and some songs I actually put on there that I wrote years ago. So it was like, it was fun, and I just loved it, but it wasn't, and I noticed it now that I, like, going through a breakup this year and just going through a lot of stuff this year, I was writing about things from the past, and there's only so much you can do with that. Like, there's only so you can only go so deep with that. And I did. I made it happen. But writing in it, in the pain, in the struggle, is like so much crazier. I mean, I've been writing 100%ers so much more now.
Which means by yourself.
By
myself. Writing songs,
yes.
By yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. More than I've ever done in my life. And it's like, I'm really excited about it. But back then it was like, oh, I'm going to think about my ex from when I was 18 who hooked up with my friend 2 days after we broke up. Like, that was like the worst thing I could think of. And my parents divorced. That wasn't fun. But yeah, it just is a different game. So like listening back to the record, I love it, but I'm just like, I get why it you know, only went so far.
So to kind of smash cut to now, when did your record deal, when did that end? Was it like, okay,
that was
we're
in
done.
May, actually.
Of this year?
Yeah.
So what happened there?
We just stopped being on the same page. And it wasn't...
What does that mean?
So I would send in songs, or they would send me songs. And I'm the kind of artist, if I hear a song that I didn't write but I wish I did, I'll cut it. I just love good songs. But they weren't sending me stuff that I liked, and that was me. And they didn't really like anything I was writing. So it was like, what are we really doing here? And our last ditch effort was the summer EP, and I loved that EP, but there were compromises there song wise, and I didn't get to do fully what I wanted. I did get to go with Corey Crowder, which was great, and I could just cut my newest project with him. But yeah, it just stopped feeling right, and stopped being inspirational, and it there was no bad blood or anything. It just was like, let's just call it like it is. And
so who goes to who?
My managers went to Scott Borchetta and just were like, hey, she's not happy, you're not happy, let's just call it a day. It wasn't, you know, super clean. Like, there were, you know, back and forth negotiations or whatnot. But again, Irving,
did you owe more? I assume you owe them more records.
I did. Oh, for
you
sure.
Still, and, or
yeah.
Did
I or, don't anymore.
You don't anymore.
No.
Do you owe them anything?
There's tiny thing, yeah, just like a little point thing, but I'm really lucky with what I got. I think there was just a respect level there between Scott and Irving, and I didn't rock the boat in any way. I wasn't mean or weird about it. I was just like, hey, dude, this isn't working. I think you're cool, but like, can I just move on now?
So what do you, the next day you don't have a record deal, what's the difference?
Well, nothing at first. I was like, I felt like there was kind of a weight lifted, and it's kind of a jolt. It's like, okay, so what now? But pretty much right away. I just went in and cut songs that I had been writing with Corey. I hired like a digital creative team that I just outsourced myself. And
so all this stuff costs money, and your label's not paying for it now.
Right.
So did you make some good money in the 5 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got lucky. CAA are amazing.
It's not lucky if you're actually good and you're working.
I know. Yeah, you're right.
It's not lucky. That's one of my pet peeves. When people are like, I got so lucky. But did you? When you put in all those hours.
Well, look, I think there's a certain level of luck. Like, there's timing and people that come into your life at very interesting times. So I think.
See, I don't believe in luck. You're talking to the wrong guy.
But well, here's the synergy.
But it's okay that you do. Yeah. So you had some money saved up.
I did, yeah. My business manager is my mom's, and she's amazing.
Oh, you probably got good money saved up then. She's probably watching you back like crazy.
Well, I'm the one who's like, hey, Mom, do you think I could go shopping today? Like, am I good? She's like, Cass, you don't have to ask me every time you want to go buy like a good pair of shoes. Like, you're good. But I didn't grow up with a lot of money, and like my parents' divorce really put my mom in a tough position. And
does she business manage for anybody else or just you?
She does. She does a bunch of like YouTube,
Bono,
the Edge. Bono, yeah, she's doing well.
She does YouTube Kids.
She does. Wow, she really? Does that band Lydia. Do you know Lydia?
I don't know Lydia.
Okay, she does a few bands. Like, it's kind of a crazy story.
That's cool, though.
Yeah.
How did she get into that? Is that like her degree?
Me. Yeah. She's a CPA. She does the books for a condominium in West Palm Beach, Florida, which she still goes to every month. She has to like oversee. But I had a big business manager when I was in my band Hey Monday, and he kind of ran us into the ground. And my mom was like, "I do this for a living. I'll help you out for a little bit." And that was probably 10 years ago. And she's been doing it ever since. And through me and through my manager at the time when I was in Hey Monday, he knows she's amazing. And he moved here. Rohan Kohli, who's at Warner now.
I don't know anybody.
Okay.
I'm supposed to know everybody. I know no one. I think you might have
everybody
this conversation.
Everybody knows you, but you know nobody.
No, it's not that everybody knows me.
It's very one-sided, Bobby.
The only time I get to know people is when they come and do this. Otherwise, I don't go out. Yeah. Every weekend I'm on the road.
Yeah.
I go to bed at 8 o'clock. What do you want from me? I got nothing.
It's okay.
I got nothing.
Hey, it's okay. I'm just, trying to, Anyway, word got out, and she's killing it. But
so now your mom's business managing lots of artists.
She is.
That's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, and
but
she's
probably
so
your
sweet.
A+, though. You're number one on the list to make sure. She's checking
she
that.
Better be.
And you saved a bunch of money.
Yeah, I've got endorsements. CAA was
Did
great.
You have a
and
teeth
got me.
Endorsement?
Yes, teeth. Dentures.
It was something, though,
Colgate,
right?
Colgate, yeah.
Oh, man, I bet that paid you a ton of money. I have friends that have done commercials, and they weren't even doing endorsements, like celebrity endorsements. But they would do national spots, and they would get, like, I think one of them got paid $280,000.
Oh, yeah. Those corporations, they have so much money. And if you can move the needle in any way, they're stoked, and it's great.
Even when I do stand-up for corporate gigs, the money's unrealistic.
Yeah.
You like, want really? To do corporate gigs because it's not like a real thing to them.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Well, my the guy who does my sound, I didn't have a tour this year, so he had to just kind of make money wherever, and he does these corporate gigs where he literally presses mute and unmute, and he gets paid so much more than what I can pay him, and I'm just like, you're not even doing anything. And he gets to go to like all these awesome places for a week straight, and he's literally there for like an hour pressing mute or unmute.
There are comedians that I know that aren't even the A-tier comedians that will get $30,000 a night.
Yeah.
And they'll take care of you, fly you in. And you just go and you talk in front of a bunch of people that work at Sam's Club.
Sam's Club. I totally done that gig.
Yeah, and then I did Dollar General 3 months ago. And it's all people that work at Dollar General that were brought in and their bosses. And it's 500 people, 600 people. And you go up on stage, you tell your jokes. And they're like, cool, here's a check. And you're like,
thank you.
But I think I earned the spot.
Sure.
And if they're going to pay somebody that much, I'm happy to take it.
Be the person they pay.
Absolutely.
Be the person.
And you saved your money.
Yeah. Oh, but, so I'm not a big spender. I bought a house this year that was like a big investment for me. But again,
when did you buy
it's
the
an
house?
Investment. Where?
Pre-boyfriend breakup or post?
Post.
Okay, that's cool then. At least I have that drama.
Oh, yeah, no. I right away, I was like, I got to find a house. I want my dog to have a yard. I want to...
That's why I bought this house.
Yeah.
I was living downtown.
Yeah. I was downtown, and it was fun. It was great. I could walk places, but once that ended, I was like, I think I'm ready for like a massive change. And yeah, I got a house.
Did you pay cash for a house?
Cash?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I just seen how, I seen how much you really had. I was saying how much you saved up. I mean, nickels you saved up.
No, not that much.
You finish, so you're out of the deal,
mm-hmm.
which means you have to spend your own money. And you spend your own money differently than when it's somebody else's money. I've learned from having
yes.
to build my own ventures.
Sure.
So now you got to spend your own money and make music.
Yeah. And I got, I mean, Corey is, he's a massive champion of mine. Like, he is just the best. And he knows, he's cutting me a deal. And it's still expensive because he's Corey. I mean, I'm not going to ask him to do it for free. And like, I can pay him, but he definitely cut me a better deal. When you're an independent artist, you tend to get better deals on stuff when like the studio knows you don't have a label fronting it, and the mixer and masters and all that, like it's cheaper.
So like when Walker Hayes produced some stuff for me,
mm-hmm.
some Raging Idiot stuff, I was just like, hey dude, I'll pay a little bit, but how about you own some of it? And so I gave him some points on that because it was just easier, and I knew we'd sell like a good amount of singles. And he was like, yeah, cool.
That's great.
So that's what we did. Is that what you guys are doing?
No.
Oh, so you just pay him straight up.
I'm paying him straight up.
I need to talk to him. He needs to work a better deal. If he's taking less money, he needs to get some of this action. So,
well, yeah. I mean, my thing is, so I want to release it independently. And if a label gets involved eventually, I will make sure he's taken care of. And I'm going to keep using him.
So release it independently, meaning you're going to...
I'm going to put it out. I'm going to put it out on iTunes and all of that. And, you know, lean on my fans.
I saw, like, an Insta story where you were, like, listening to new music. Did you do that?
Yeah.
Was that what it was?
Fans know I've been working on it. They know that it's coming. I just don't have a release date yet. And I know for sure it's going to be probably in February.
Oh, that's pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, because I just, and it's fun. Like, I have my own timeline. That's another thing, you know, with the label and stuff. You don't, you know,
have
to worry about that.
I have some of the new stuff here. This is one of Cassidy's new songs. Here you go.
I apologize. I love what's one for the ages.
Hey, if it did that well, I would be stoked.
It sounded good. She was looking at me like, what do you have?
I was
how do you have
sorry?
It? Yeah. Let me talk about Sleep Number for 1 second. So when it comes to holiday gifts, what gift could be better than the gift of sleep, even for yourself? You may be hearing this before Christmas. Maybe you're hearing this way after Christmas. I don't know when you listen to this thing, but I can tell you this. I do love my Sleep Number bed. And maybe you thought you couldn't afford a Sleep Number. Did you know that 9 out of 10 couples disagree on mattress firmness? The Sleep Number bed lets you choose your ideal comfort, your ideal support on each side, so it's just right for the both of you. The newest Sleep Number beds are so smart, they automatically adjust, so you both stay sleeping comfortably throughout the night. My Sleep Number setting is a 30, and my Sleep IQ score last night was in the 90s. And I do the show from my house, and my bed is literally 25 feet away from me right now. Sleep Number beds cost about the same as traditional mattresses, last twice as long. And you go in now, save $200 on a Queen C4 mattress now with Sleep IQ technology, only $15,999. Yeah, you get it. Plus, buy one Cool Fit 2.0 pillow, get the second one half off. So, 800 next bed to find the store near you and tell them I sent you. Cool. Okay, so, all right, you're putting out music in February. Are you done with it?
Like you have it all
done?
Yeah, I'm waiting for somebody to possibly sing on it, and I don't want to say who because I don't know if he's going to do it.
Garth?
Oh.
Me?
Come on, Bobby.
The
Come
two
on.
Spectrums.
Yes, please.
The best and the absolute worst. So okay, so you're almost done then.
I'm almost done, and I've got out my publishing.
You got out of your publishing deal?
Out of my publishing deal.
So that means people were paying you to write.
Yes, essentially.
Yeah.
I was on like an artist publishing deal, which you don't really have to meet a quota or anything. It's just basically like they're in charge of getting you syncs or pitching you songs for you to get and record or whatever. And you know, there's an advance at first when you first sign, but it just kind of ran its course. And then I also let go of my managers, which was tough because
dang, it's like a full purge, huh?
Yeah.
I guess you kind of need to. If you're gonna go 75%, you almost have to go 100.
Yeah, the only person I kept was Darren Murphy at CAA because I was like, you've been, you know, consistent, you're my rock here, you're like. And you know, it's easy when you're not doing well or you don't have anything going on for somebody to be like, okay, I'm going to go over here now. I'll let you figure it out on your own. But like, he never did that. He was always really, and not that everybody else did, but he's just amazing. He kept me busy. He kept me on the road. He kept making me money, and that's like it's not broke. So
CAA, by the way, is an agency. Full disclosure, CAA is my agency too.
Cool. Good people.
They're all the same. I mean, really, like I went to CAA because because I liked my specific agent. By the way, I never signed with CAA in Nashville. I signed with CAA in New York for television, and it was like, hey, your band's selling tickets for like 1,500 people a night in theaters. Why don't you get an agent? And I was like, all right. And so I went and talked to people, and then I just liked the people at CAA better. I don't know the difference. Like, I don't know the difference. I'm not.
I guess I don't really either, but I love it. I love CAA, so it's like
I do too. Because
I'm just gonna hang
because I like the people that I work with directly.
Exactly.
So that's an agency. Do you have to give them 10% of everything, or do you have a better rate?
Yeah, it's 10%. Yeah.
Why you say it like that?
I don't know. I don't know if like it's weird. Is that weird to disclose?
Oh, I had a whole podcast talking about my money last time, where it was. I was like, listen, let me tell you, because I said I was talking about my money. Yeah. So first of all, it's on my radio contract is different because I have a radio agent which I fired, but he gets 7% of my rate. But in radio, normal is like 20%, 18%.
Yeah.
But as you grow, you can actually negotiate down, and I'm in a pretty solid spot to go. You're not taking that much money out of my paycheck,
right?
So I have to pay him 7%. But then all the stand-up comedy, it goes like this. It goes, manager takes 15%. Mm-hmm. Does your manager take 15%? You have a manager right now?
She did, but no, I don't.
Okay, 15%. Yeah. Then my agent takes 10. My business manager, depending, yours is your mom. I don't know what you pay your mom.
Yeah.
But mine takes 4. And so there, from anything, and again, yeah, I'm complaining a little bit, but these are necessities.
I
need these people to help me book shows, to manage, have books and music and radio shows.
Yeah.
And
a lot of stuff.
And I don't even think about money. I know nothing about money. So yeah. A business manager makes sure everybody gets paid. And so, but before I even get paid, 40 cents of a dollar is gone.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
And so I'm not complaining about the job that I do. It just kind of sucks that you have to pay people. I wish I could just get all the money.
Yeah, it would be great.
And pay no taxes too, by the way. But I did
a
did a whole show on here about that. Like, this is the independent contractor world of artistry.
Yeah.
And how it works and all the odd people we have to pay that people just wouldn't know about. It wasn't a woe is me.
No.
It was like, this is what happens when you're an artist. You have a manager, you have an agent, you have a business manager.
Yeah.
I just did a photo shoot and it cost me like $2,000.
Yeah, dude. It's so funny when I'm like in coach and people recognize me and they're like, why aren't you in first class?
Oh, I fly Southwest. People are like, what?
Don't you have a private jet? I'm like, what?
Aren't you on TV?
I'm like, who do you think I am? Taylor Swift? But
she has her own.
She has a plane.
Yeah, she got a couple of those things.
A plane.
So, okay, so here you are. I forgot. Yeah, you can disclose whatever you want. You can not disclose whatever you want. I don't care.
Okay.
So, you're going to have new music out. I'll talk about your boyfriend for a second. I met him a couple times.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't know him. I guess I really didn't know you that well.
No. No. I don't know why.
No, because I don't know any. I'm telling you, I don't know anybody.
Let's get to know each other.
No, I don't think so.
Right,
just
cool.
Because
whatever. I'm taking the cookies back.
I don't have the schedule. my life is not conducive to having friendships.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't have them.
I'm going to bite my tongue on that one.
You can say whatever you want. Mike D's my only friend just about because we travel together. In the last 6 days, Cassidy, let me tell you, I've been in New York, L.A., Oklahoma, Arkansas, Nashville. That's 5 cities in 6 days.
It's pretty crazy.
That's why I have many friends. And because I'm a dick.
I don't know. I plead the fifth on that one.
Yeah. I don't think I have.
I've had very good experiences with you. So
I just don't have
I'm
time for
that
things.
Way. Maybe I'll keep you at arm's length so I don't like catch the douche vibe.
No, I don't. You don't get a douche vibe.
Okay, good.
I was out with Jillian because Jillian Jacqueline's been on the road with me for the past three months. She's awesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was out with Jillian. I may have told this story. I don't know. See, the thing is, I don't know what stories I tell on and off the air because they're all.
That's just human stuff.
Well, so I was with Jillian and she was she did, you know, 14 shows with us, I think, Raging Idiot shows.
Mm-hmm.
So we're playing all these theaters, and she was like, I finally get you. I was like, what do you mean? She goes, you just go A to B. Like, you don't, whatever, you just leave. Because we were in a room, and this guy would not stop talking.
Oh, yeah.
And he was out of control. So I just left. And she was in there still.
She stayed.
And she was in there.
You just abandoned her.
And so I just got up and left because he was kind of out of control.
All right.
And then so I left. And she was like, man, I admire how you can. I said, here's the stages of me. First of all, people go, well, that was kind of rude. Then after about the third time, they go, well, he's kind of weird. And then after a while, they go, ah, that's just Bobby.
Yeah, that's just
him. There's nothing mean about it. He's just kind of odd. Yeah. He's just. So,
oh, yeah, yeah.
So, but no douche vibe.
No douche vibe. Because
I don't think I'm cool. I think.
Right, that's when you think you're cooler than you are, so you overcompensate.
Dudes are like, hey, look how cool. Look at my selfie in the mirror.
Look at my recliners in my cool room where I have my podcast.
Okay, I don't like that impression. That's not a very good impression of me.
That was not good.
Okay, not so good impressions. I met your ex-boyfriend a couple times. Seemed like a nice fella, but you guys the thing was, you guys were together forever.
8 years.
And that was the whole story. It was like, oh yeah, they've been together forever.
Yeah, yeah, and we got engaged in February.
Of this year?
Yeah.
You got engaged and split up. That's a pretty quick engagement.
Yeah, I know.
So when he was in a band, huh? Wasn't he in like All American Rejects?
Different all time low. Yeah, drummer.
Are they any good?
Yeah, they're so good.
Are they?
So good. I'm still big fan.
Whatever.
They're killing it.
I wouldn't be a big fan if I broke up with somebody.
I'm
just kidding. I'm a huge fan of Lindsay.
Dang it.
Let's see here.
Hard feelings.
Let me hear this.
No. Listen to Lindsay
and Cassidy are like friends.
Yeah, we are.
So we saw
That's
you guys.
When you're like, I don't have time for friends. I was like, girlfriends.
No, and I had time for a girlfriend too.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about that openly.
I know,
super openly, the whole thing. But I will say that we saw you. We were at dinner two weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it was me, Amy, and the girl that styles Amy and I both.
Okay.
And so it was our stylist. And so we go out, and we're having dinner, and I say, hey, there's Cassidy. And I see you because you're covered in tattoos, like your arms. And I was like, oh, there's – because the restaurant was packed.
Yeah, it was.
But I see your arm tattoos. And I'm like, oh, there's Cassidy. And I was going to go up and say hi, and I walk up, and Lindsay is sitting right next to you. I didn't even see Lindsay until I got right up to you.
Are you serious?
No, I didn't even – I was like –
oh my god, that's
like,
so funny.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we didn't see you till you walked on up, and I was like, hey, hi.
And then Amy walks up and starts talking, and then she comes back and goes, is it awkward? I was like, no, what's awkward?
It was great. Honestly, everybody handled themselves.
No, there was nothing to handle.
Look, you guys dated.
We still talk.
Yeah, it's great.
She was over here yesterday evening dropping off presents.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah.
There's a 0%. We were texting today about something because she's in Chicago. Like, there is zero weirdness.
Good.
You don't have to cough and be like, friend.
I know. I'm just immature.
Maybe at some point there will be, but we're good. We're good.
Good. I'm glad.
Never been better. I mean, yeah, we've been better, but yeah. You know what I mean? Anyway,
moving on.
Here we go. No, I have to move on. Okay, I want to hear that your ex-boyfriend's band.
That's
what I like to do. I like to torture people by playing their ex's music.
I honestly haven't listened to this in a very long time.
So he's the drummer.
Yeah.
He's doing a terrible job so far drumming. I heard nothing. I heard no drums. I'm not feeling his drumming yet.
Okay.
Here's some kick. Look, kick.
Singing to the sky just felt right.
I mean, I've heard better drumming. I'm gonna tell you.
He's a real good drummer.
I don't hear it in this song. He's not really showcasing his ability here.
It's definitely more alternative. This album, they went a little bit more mainstream alternative.
What? Is that new?
That's new.
Yeah. So, yeah, okay. So you're dating this dude for 8 years.
Yeah.
Other than my dog, I got nothing going on for 8 years. Like, I don't have a family member that I've been close to for 8 years. Like,
wow.
That's a long time.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, there's a lot of, when you're with somebody for that long, there's a lot of transitions, a lot of change, a lot of, like,
you guys live together?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how in the world? Like, you.
We had a dog. We had a dog. Have a dog. That's mine now.
Is it like a cubby?
Cuppy.
Cuppy?
The P. Two P's.
So,
I don't have a pop filter, so this is very intense.
You guys break it off after 8 years, huh?
And nobody did anything wrong. It was just like.
Really? Nobody did anything wrong?
No. Like, and this is the thing. We both agreed we wouldn't get crazy with details and, like, tell everybody or like, air out the dirty laundry because there really isn't any. It's just. It just wasn't anymore. It was and then it wasn't.
So, Playing like, shrink here.
Oh boy.
If you got engaged in February and an unengaged in May, then it must have been a realization set in, because that's a pretty big part of like, oh,
it makes you.
Am I really committed? Because you have to really decide then.
Yeah, it makes you think about it. You know, it's an idea until it becomes reality, and you start talking about weddings.
Why did it take him so long to propose? By the way, eight years.
You know, a lot of it was me. I was like, I want to be in a good place in my career. I want to feel content. And then when I never, ever, ever felt content, I was like, okay, well, we don't have to wait anymore. This is never going to be, the music career is never going to be like in a place where I can just, because if that's you, then like, I feel like
You'll never find a spot.
You won't find a spot. And I don't think you should. I think you should be happy and grateful and have gratitude, but like, you should always want to do better and accomplish more. But anyway, once I was like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
Did you do the thing where, because I don't know, because you obviously didn't stay in that house. Were you living in a house together?
No, apartment.
Okay. So did you do the thing where, did you both leave the apartment?
No.
So he had to leave for a while and you got all your stuff and left?
Well, he left for tour really quickly after. And so I had time.
That'd be easier then.
Yeah. I had a transitional period, and my mom had, she literally was like, I was going through the breakup, through the getting out of my deal, getting out of my management company, all this stuff. And she was like,
so much.
She was like, is it bad? Like, is me moving here, what is causing all of this? I was like, no, you moved here because I needed you. Well, you don't believe in this stuff.
But do you believe in what stuff? Luck?
Like, yeah. I mean, basically, yeah. Like, her moving here during all of that, and I wasn't like, oh, good, you're here, I'm going to do all this. It literally was simultaneous. And I was like, no, you're here because there's something, like the universe was like, you're gonna need your mom here for you. So it was, thank God she was here. But
so all that happened, did you go to a therapist?
Oh yes.
Okay, I was about to say, because I'd have been one every day.
I went twice a week
with all of it, and that's a lot, because I go once a week.
Yeah, me too.
And that's a lot, and once a week is a good amount.
It's good. Yeah, now like when I go once a week, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have so much to tell you, and I'm in an awesome place, and I feel great. Then I was just like crying every day. I was like, you know, a mess. And I needed to go 2 days a week. And I always was like afraid of therapy, because there's a lot from my childhood that sucked. And like, my parents' divorce was pretty tumultuous. And like,
do you think that kept you from wanting to get married though?
No, I wasn't afraid of getting married. I really wasn't. It just wasn't the right person. And yeah, I mean, I'm not afraid of marriage. I think it's great. I love it. I think it's beautiful. I have friends that are married that are super happy. And the thing is it's work. Like, you definitely, it shouldn't be like you wake up every morning like, oh, I have to make it work with this person. But there will be tough times and you have to want to work. And we weren't in a place where we were willing to do that. So it's just kind of, you know.
I just wonder about that, about your mom and your dad divorce. Because I don't know. I never saw a successful relationship. So I never knew my real dad, ever.
Right. I think I know your story, which is
insane.
Yeah,
and my mom died. And, yeah. She was an addict her whole life. Ugh. But I never saw really a happy relationship, ever.
Right.
I never saw anything stay together. And she was married to my biological father until I was 4 or 5. And she had boyfriends on and off. And depending where we lived, we moved around a lot.
Yeah.
When you don't have money, you just live wherever you can live. And so she'd have different boyfriends, and sometimes we'd move in with them. And she married my stepdad, and they ended up getting divorced. So I never saw a relationship work. And I see people whose relationships work, but it's so ingrained in me that relationships don't work.
Well, and that's something, like, that's good that you're going to therapy, because that's something that sucks. Like, that shouldn't be a thing. Like, I know it's hard when you've gone through all those experiences. Like, I had an epiphany this year with my therapist where I was like, why have I never been single? From 15,
I've had
boyfriends.
Yeah.
I've just one boyfriend after the other. And now that I don't, I'm like lonely and I want somebody and I don't know what to do. And she's like, because like, you know, I've always had a difficult relationship with my dad, and he would come in and out of my life, and it's still not great. And she's like, it's because, like, you didn't really have a male figure in your life that was dependable. And so you're trying to find that in these guys that you're with. And you have to, like, find that, like, inner peace and, like, happiness to, like, be okay with being alone. And, like, finally I found it. But it took, like, 6 months.
That's not any time. You're acting like 6 months.
Like, it felt like forever.
Kaz, let me tell you. It's nothing. You go out and you should date 100 people.
Yeah, I've been.
You should. Like, you really should. You should go out and you shouldn't get in any relationship, I'm going to give you a little advice.
Oh, boy. Okay?
I'm a little older than you, but not so much older than you that it doesn't matter. I'm probably less mature than you.
I don't know about that.
So this is what, because I have always been single. I'm the opposite.
Right.
And then rarely do I get a girlfriend. Like Lindsay and I dated, I mean, I've had like four girlfriends in my life, my whole life.
Wow.
And so kind of did the same reason, but the opposite, right?
Sure.
You just need to go into date. You need to spend about a year just dating different people. Here we go again. You're going to try to find something.
Just here's what happened. I was like, I don't even want to date anybody for a while. And so I just like sat in my sadness and loneliness for a while. And then I was like, okay, I need to do something.
We should date everybody. My point. Not don't date anybody.
I've been going on dates and all that. But like, there's one that's in particular that I kind of like, okay?
Just be careful.
I am.
And all the dudes in Nashville are players.
Oh, don't say that. I was with one that was here, and he's not a player.
Yeah, you were with him for 8 years, though, before he was...
That's true, but I'm just saying, I don't think that's a blanket statement,
Yeah, but blanket statements exist for reasons, because blankets are warm and comfortable, and they make sense at times. So, you do you.
I'll keep you updated. I'm watching. Not that you care,
no,
but...
I do. No, I care. Sometimes I'll send you a message on Insta Story.
Yeah. Yeah, that last one was funny.
Not that often, but sometimes I'll... I guess say you on where you went through Christmas. Why did I send you? Insta
I went
story?
To the dancing lights, which were.
Oh, this
so
is what it was.
Cool.
You tagged me because my voice is on the Insta. They do that Jellystone lights, and I recorded that thing 4 years ago. And it's like, hey, it's Bobby Bones and it's Amy. She's like, hey, are you on the radio? On my radio and the lights. And I'm like, I've never been paid for that. Why are they? Is that even a charity? If it's a charity thing, like I don't care, but I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
I'm not sure.
It was $25 to like get in there.
Yeah, and she was like, "Who do I need to beat up?" And I was like, "Santa."
I was like, "I'm out."
And she's like, "I'm out." That's what
Santa.
It was. Okay. Wait, we get sidetracked here. So yeah. First of all, no relationships.
Okay.
You can date whoever you want.
Okay.
Second of all, just quit. Stop music for 5 years. Come back in 5 years. No more music.
Oh hell no! That is not possible for me.
Number three. No more deodorant. We're just cutting all the things off, Mike.
What are you
we're just
trying
cutting
to get
off.
Me to be we're like cutting backpacking
all,
through
yes,
the
that's
world?
Yes, you need to be Kip Moore.
All right.
And just go and live your life.
I love Kip.
On
no
an
thanks.
Island.
I'm good.
And just not come back.
I really like my Nest thermostat. I'm good. I'm going
to. Oh, there's Nest legit. I have one too. It's hooked up not on my phone.
Yeah, it's so
like,
nice.
I can literally hit an app.
It's so great.
And do you have it on your phone?
Yes. I have the cameras.
Yeah, me too.
I just like to feel secure.
I left you a parking spot up front too.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I really
don't always
it.
Do that. Sometimes guests get upset with me.
Or really?
They drive big trucks and they can't fit. Yeah.
No, I still have my little Kia from The Voice.
She's
my baby. Well, so I left her. I'm gonna just call her in LA when I was here for like a year, basically, and I didn't put any mileage on it. And then I brought her here. And it's, like, since 2013, it's only, like, 15,000 miles.
But you've been on TV. I thought you'd have, like, a Bentley.
I know, right? What's wrong with me?
Isn't it crazy how people feel like if you've been on the radio, or had a song on the radio or a song on TV, or that you're rich?
Yeah.
Like, that people assume that you're automatically rich.
Oh, yeah. But people don't understand. Like, like you were saying earlier, and I'm glad you did an episode about people you have to pay, because it's crazy. It's, like, there's so many people that make it happen. So when it happens, it's, like... You kind of are the last person to get paid.
Yeah, that's a good
so
point.
Weird.
You are the last person to get paid. And I was talking about how artists I know that do like first of three slots, you know, on tours.
Yeah.
Oh. They will break even or lose money.
Yeah.
Or maybe make a little bit. Because
some people even pay to do it.
Because they have to pay band, they have to pay all the travel. Like,
yeah.
Think about artists too, you got to pay for everything.
Oh, yeah.
All travel. Like when I go out and do stand-up, I have to pay for travel, for merch.
Mm-hmm.
I take out an extra opener with me. Tour manager.
Yeah.
And then got to pay them hotel rooms.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
A lot.
And we're only complaining because we can.
Yeah.
Like, it's a great complaint to have.
I mean, we're not lucky. Sorry. You don't like that word.
I don't. Listen, if you want to use it, that's okay. I understand the context of it.
It's, yeah.
You mean.
We're fortunate to do what we love.
You can say lucky. I don't really. Here's why I don't believe in luck.
Not a lot of adjectives.
I believe luck is just putting yourself in a spot. And if you put yourself in the right spot, eventually.
Right.
Something is going to happen.
No, you're right. You have to work for it. Yeah.
And if you get the first time you buy a lottery ticket, and you're like, woo, well, you were in the right spot to buy that lottery. You went to the store.
Store.
And if you're unlucky, well, you probably shouldn't have walking on the sidewalk when the piano fell out. Like, you need to look up. Wouldn't you say, Mike? Yeah. Look up before you start walking down the sidewalk.
Yeah, do it.
Oh, walking gosh. By buildings.
That's true.
Okay, so you're starting your life over.
Basically, yeah. Mm. And I read this book.
What's it called?
You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. And the therapy was amazing. It was great. I got to get it all out. But this book is like what set me over the edge to like my blissful, like, life is awesome. I feel great. Like, that book is, it's all about self-esteem. Like, if you love yourself and you're like, you feel worthy, then everybody's going to feel that energy. And you're going to, as soon as I felt that way, everybody like wanted to hear the music. People were hearing about the music and like labels and stuff were like, when can we hear it? When can we hear it? And I was just like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not. I mean, you can hear it, but I don't want to really sign with anybody right now. And, like, you know, started going on dates, and my friends all are like, yeah, there's definitely something happening with you. It's, like, palpable, like, your confidence and whatever it is. And, like, it just felt like there was, like, a massive shift after I read that book. So anytime I can, like, bring it up, I do, because even if you don't feel like you need it, it's just a great read. It's awesome.
You know a book I like? Green Eggs and Ham. Makes me feel great.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
You know what book, though, is really fantastic is The Places You'll Go.
Oh, it's the best.
It's still the best.
I know.
I can read that book and be inspired still.
It kind of makes me sad. Like, it makes me sad. It's nostalgic in, like, a really sad way.
And then it's nostalgic because you didn't go a lot of those places that you thought you would as a kid. And you're like, wah, 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 wah.
I
want to
go down a swirly drain.
But that's a good one. And I bought, what's funny is my main producer on my radio show, her name's Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
When she graduated college, she was an intern for me. Then she was a phone screener. Then I wanted to keep her around, so I hired her as my assistant. And then I put her on the so she worked her way up. But when she graduated college, I bought her that book, The Place That You'll Go, and wrote her a whole note on it. I was like, hey, nobody works harder than you, wherever you want to go. And now she's running the show.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is crazy. But that
that's
book,
so awesome.
That's still a cool book. And what's your book called again?
You Are a Badass. And it is so good.
Is it for girls?
No, it's for everybody.
Do I sound 12?
Is it for girls?
Can I read it?
Will it give me cooties if I,
boys allowed.
If I read
don't
it?
Don't touch it. Wear gloves. Yeah, it's a big, like, yellow, it's super, super, like, poppy book. You can see it from a mile away, but it's awesome.
I should give you Bare Bones.
Dude, I have it. I just haven't read it yet.
Okay.
What?
What's the use of that?
I'm just being honest.
Yeah, well, let me
I'm
know.
I'm supporting you,
let
but
me know.
I need to
What do you mean
it.
You have it? Did you get it for free?
No.
Did you buy it with your
I
own money?
I bought it.
Oh, well, that's cool. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Let me know when you read it. It will change your life.
I'm pretty excited.
Mike, you think it'll change your life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I see all of the reviews, and they're all raving.
Yeah, so. But let me tell you about those reviews. They're a little bit screwed up, because I got on the air one day. My listeners are the best, because I'm honest with them. They don't always enjoy me, but I'm honest with them.
It's good.
And so there's a respect between my listeners and myself to where even if you don't like what I'm saying, I'm at least telling you my truth, right?
Yeah.
Even if, and we can disagree, and that's fine most of the time. And I say, hey, so because there's that respect, I say, hey, do me a solid. Go over to Amazon and just give it 5 stars. Everybody, even if you hadn't read it.
Oh, my God.
Like 1,000 reviews.
Are you serious?
Yes. Now, to be fair, it was the New York Times bestseller for 4 weeks. Now, I can't fake that part of it.
No, you cannot.
But if you look at Amazon... And don't. By the way, if you're listening right now, go give it 5 stars.
Yeah,
and I'm almost done on my second one right now. So I'm so that comes out in June.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I gotta read that first one first.
You don't have to. There's really nothing to it.
Is it like a sequel?
No, it's not, because I don't have anything else. I don't want to write the first book.
I don't have anything else.
Like, I was exhausted. I
have nothing.
It's like a wash rag when you squeeze it and all. I don't wash rag. How country does that sound?
Wash rag.
It's like you get a piece of cloth wet.
Yes.
And you squeeze it. You wring it out.
Yes.
And then it's like there's no more water in it.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like when I finished that book.
That's why you got to dip the towel in some more water.
Well, I did. I did a TED Talk, and that's what I did the second book on.
Oh,
on
cool.
How to fail and why failing is great.
Yes.
And how it actually helps you succeed.
Oh, my gosh. So crazy you're saying that. Literally, on my drive here, I saw the sun setting on... I sound like a hippie right now. I saw the sunset on the Nashville skyline, and I just looked at it, and I had this, like, overwhelming feeling of gratitude for all of, like, the bad things that I've been through this year. I was like, thank you.
That's
like,
how you learn.
You have to. You
and
have
so
to.
So that's what the book is. It's...
Oh, man, I'm so excited for that.
And I have people that have sent me... I have friends, like... Do you know Deion Sanders is a football player?
Yeah.
So I reached out to Deion and like the governor of Arkansas and people and like, hey, what? I don't care about their success. Like, what's your worst story?
Right.
Like, when were you your lowest? Mm. Because what people see all the time is everybody up on their high.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where everybody's looking up.
Yeah, they want that hope.
And so my story is, and the book that I'm writing is, you have to go through 500 of those bad things to learn, have resilience. And even the greatest that you see failed miserably so many times. So anyway, that's what the book's about.
I love that.
That'll be the second one, but you can't read it until... The second book unlocks after you read the first one.
Yeah.
Got it.
Right? Because there's a combination hidden in the first book that you can't even open the second book until you find the combination.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Magic.
It's a whole thing. It's a little thing we're working on.
Let me see what else.
It's really involved.
I'll drink of water. Let me see what I have up here for you.
Waterloo. What is that?
Oh, it is. I stopped drinking sodas years ago.
That's good.
Yeah. So I
had a vanilla Coke today, though.
I love them.
I was a little hungover.
I love. What did you do last night? A Christmas party?
No, actually, Santa's pub, which was a bad idea.
Did you do karaoke?
Nope. I was there for an hour.
Do they pressure you to do karaoke if you go somewhere and they're like, Cassidy, you're a good singer. Go do some karaoke and like blow everybody's face off.
No, it's kind of crazy. First of all, one person recognized me in that pub. Everybody else was just hammered and couldn't see. So it was great. But I just like beeline to the back of the room because I can't handle a smoky bar like that. It was too much. It was fun. I'm glad I did it. I never went before, but I was like, I got to get out of here. And then we ended up going on Broadway. And
you went on Broadway?
I sure did.
Broadway's like the mess. It's like tourists and everybody gets just plastered and people are just peeing on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, same time. People vomit and pee at the same time. They're like, bibs.
It's like combo. A V or a pommet.
Yeah, a pommet. It's disgusting. You went on Broadway, huh?
I did. Sometimes I don't care.
Why don't you just hop in one of those bands? That'd be funny.
I do. So my band plays, my guitarist's name is Benji, and they have their own side thing, Benji and the Jets. And they play a gig at the
That's
Valentine.
That's funny, a little play on words at Elton John, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty good. And they play every Saturday night at Valentine, sometimes Friday nights. And if I go, I pop up there and we do like Think of You or one of my songs or something. But I love it. It's like, I'm kind of a yes girl this year. Well, over the past few months. I'm like, yeah, I'll go. If I'm in my PJs on the couch, I used to be like, nope, done at 7. I don't care if you text me, I'm done for the night. But now I'll be like, all right, got a rally. It's time to go. And always something awesome happens.
Always?
No. But most of the time.
So what do you do? What'd you do today? Like, what's your life like now?
My phone broke last night.
Sounds like last night was quite the night.
No. Yeah. Okay, it didn't break because I was drinking. It broke because it just stopped charging. I was at home and I was like, this isn't charging. So I went out, brought my iPad. I looked like a crazy person.
You took your iPad because your phone was broken?
Yes.
That's funny.
I was like, excuse me, let me just take this out. And I was at like Santa's pub trying to get Wi-Fi, and it's bad. But so this morning, I was like, yeah, Mom, I got to go get a new phone. And she's like, don't go to the mall. Don't get a new phone. Because she got me an iPhone for Christmas.
Oh, wow.
So cute. So I went over to her
house.
Did
she give it to you early?
She did. It was wrapped in everything.
Do you have it?
Oh, yeah, it's over
is it
there.
Is it this one?
It's the 10.
Yeah, it's awesome. Do you know how to use it yet?
No. It took me 5 minutes to figure out how to shut it off.
Oh, so you're just learning to turn it off.
I just needed to turn it off to get my service.
Basically, you just push one button and hold it down.
No, that's Siri.
No, it's to turn it off. No, Siri, look, watch. All you have to do is hold this button down right there, that's it?
Yeah.
Wait, am I wrong,
that's
Mike?
What you have I to hold both.
Oh, that's what it is.
Oh,
see,
you
I didn't even
both.
Know.
Oh, yeah. Thank God.
That's me. That's an example of me being a douche right there. That's it. I thought I was way cooler than I was. Yes. So it's these two buttons. Yeah. That's why it never turns off then.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. The phone that never shuts off.
I only talk to Siri by saying, hey, Siri, though.
Oh, I use it when I'm driving to, like, call somebody. I'm really weird. I will not touch my phone when I'm driving. That's, like, a big no-no.
Yeah, I don't either, but I don't ever push the button. I always say, hey, Siri, call Cassidy Pope.
Cassidy. I trained her to call me Poop Face.
Mine called.
So yes, I'm mature.
My name's Big Bad Voodoo Bobby. Do you know who Big Bad Voodoo Daddy is?
No.
The band?
No.
You never heard of Big Bad Voodoo Daddy?
Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Yeah, so.
That's a mouthful.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. Back in the,
Do people abbreviate that?
Here. back in like the 90s, early 2000s, this big band thing came back.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like Brian Setzer Orchestra and Big Bad Voodoo Daddy. They're also in Swingers.
Okay, yeah.
And they're the band.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. But I don't know their music.
And so, no, nobody does. But yeah, anyway.
I dig it. That's good.
You would
good
know,
New Year's
I bet
Eve
you
kind of
know this song. No, hold on. You, Me, and the Bottle Make Three. Do you know this one?
I don't think so. Oh. Little scat.
You don't. You see, you don't even know good music yet. You need to be around people that know good music.
Dang.
Do you know Cherry Pop and Daddies?
No.
Like Zoot Suit Riot? Zoot Suit Riot!
What are you saying right now?
Oh, my goodness.
Do you know Cherry Butt?
And by the way, what a bad name for... Oh, my mouse went out. There it went. They're called Cherry Pop and Daddies. That's the name.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. It is, but Zoot Suit Riot! Riot! Come back a bottle of beer! Yeah.
Oh, I know that song.
That's this one. So this
is
all
dancing.
This is a whole thing. And like the late 90s, early 2000s, where all these bands that were big bands. We're all in pop radio. This is when I was like a teenager on pop radio.
Yeah. So I don't remember that. I was very, I was in like into Michelle Branch at that
time too.
Or something.
I was on the radio.
Yeah, you had to know everything about all of it.
Hold on, I'm going to give you this one. You're going to know this guy.
Do you remember Doug, the guy that did...
The cartoon Doug?
No.
Go ahead.
He did covers of like punk songs, but he did it in like a Sinatra way.
He wasn't a real artist.
I mean, I don't want to say that.
No, I mean, he didn't make his own stuff up.
I don't think so.
You know this one?
It looks like we're going to hell.
This is old, though, right?
Look up Jump, Jive, and Well. Probably 98 or something.
Oh, you gotta jump, jive, and then you wear, you gotta jump, jive.
98? Yeah. So you were like 10 or something?
Oh, I was probably into Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, well,
89. I was born in 89.
I still am. I took a picture of the Backstreet Boys. It was all of them. It was all of them and me. And my eyes were closed.
Oh.
So it was my one shot. Everybody was in because they were like, all right, come on in. We took a picture and my eyes were closed.
Dang it.
I know.
I met them at the ACMs last year. This year,
I met in this year ACM Honors is where I saw
them. They were ACM Honors?
No, wait a minute.
ACMs.
Hold on. I met them at CMT Artist of the Year.
Oh, okay. I didn't go to that. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool to get in the door there.
I know. This was my uncool year.
This is a bad year for you.
I'm coming back.
Okay, so just to recap,
it's a lot.
No, I think it's just a lot of life.
It's so much life, but I love it.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of life. I think you probably learned a lot in this last year, more than the last 7 years.
It's so true. It's so, once I was like, okay, I'm going to start following my heart. That's when everything went crazy. It was like a shit storm. Oh, sorry.
You can have whatever you want.
It was like a shit storm.
I hope you don't think we're live on the radio. If not, you're going to be sadly disappointed that nobody's calling in.
We're going to jump in.
Yeah, where is everybody? I was like, once I started doing that, it was really bad at first. I was like, why did I do this again? Why did I fire everybody and break up with my ex? And then now I'm like, oh, got it. I'm so much happier. I feel cleansed.
Good for you. I would be, as a dude, and I were dating a girl that was just out of a 7-year relationship, it'd be a tough one.
Well, I'm not like...
It'd be a tough one. I'm just telling you as a dude.
Yeah.
Even though I would act cool.
Aww.
And be like, yeah, whatever. But I would be like, ooh.
Really?
Yeah. Because it's... You wonder...
I can say it till I'm blue in the face, but yeah, that's dumb.
Like if you were dating a dude who was in a relationship for 10 years, basically, and he'd been out for a few months, wouldn't you want to be like, I wonder what part of that he's holding on to?
Yeah. But I'm honest. I'm like, I'll always love him. I respect him. He's amazing. Nobody did anything wrong. But it's if you, like, unless I give you a reason to not trust me, then I think you should just open up your heart and, like, be open-minded.
I'd like to share with you my favorite thing about me, if you don't mind.
You don't have an open heart?
No. It's I love to give relationship advice, and I can't keep one together to save my freaking life. It's like, it's
take
like
5 years off music.
Let me give you some great relationship advice.
There we go.
There you go.
Yeah.
boy.
Here's the blind audition.
Oh, my God.
From you. Yeah, this is how you doing. Do you remember the song you did?
Torn,
Natalie Imbruglia.
I remember walking up the stairs and I had a ring on and I put my hand on the railing. It was like dead silent. It was like, ting! I was like, oh,
where?
God.
Where'd you do this?
In L.A.?
Yeah.
I think it was the Universal lot.
Okay, so you went, this is on the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you had to sing somewhere else first, right?
Oh, yeah. A private audition. And I came and I kind of skipped the
line.
Were
you a ringer? Did they find they said you were Hey Monday?
Yeah, they were like, we heard you left the band. Will you come audition? They asked me the year before. I said no, and they asked me again, and I was like, okay, it's time.
Here's Torn.
It's nothing where you used to lie. This conversation has run dry.
All three immediately. Let me listen to that again.
CeeLo took a minute.
Well, it was tough because you started falling back in your chair like you didn't want to hear that. Is it making you uncomfortable?
I can hear the nerves in my voice.
Of course. You're
I'm like,
how old were you when you did this?
22.
Okay. You're 22 and you're on NBC.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
It was terrifying.
Let's listen again.
There's nothing where you used to lie. This conversation has run dry. That's what's going on.
You can hear me.
And not this part I'm torn.
Who's that clapping?
That's my family. Oh, geez, you're going to make me cry now. So that was my mom, my sister, my friend who passed 2 years ago, who I just got this tattoo for, Gabby.
I saw your Instagram post of you getting it done, yeah.
Yeah, he was one of my best friends. My old friend, one of my oldest friends, Allie, who I've known since I was in preschool, and Ryan, my ex. And it was like, I mean, it was crazy. Like I walked into the room after the audition and I was just looking at them like, okay, somebody pinch me. Is this for real? Like, did all four just turn around? And did, like, cause I was scared. I left the band and I was like, what am I doing? I could, this is comfortable. I could keep doing this. And you know, we just got out of our record deal. So we felt kind of free. Like we could go anywhere if we wanted. But I knew deep down it was probably not going to happen for us. And so I left, but like, that was the validation. Like crazy.
What do you think when you hear yourself sing there?
Nah, I don't like it.
You know, I've heard you sing a bunch of times. I wouldn't think that was you. I don't think it's that good.
No, it's not. Because here's what happens when you get nervous: your throat closes up.
Really?
And I like my main problem on that whole show. I was at the very bottom of my potential the whole time because of nerves. And anytime I get nervous, my low notes go away. So like the finale for Cry. It's like,
so you won the show nervous?
Yes.
Man. Because you're a really good singer.
Terrifying.
And I've been able to watch you sing in person. Like, you're fantastic. You're one of the upper echelon vocalists.
Thanks.
And I hear this and I go, they all turn around a little too quick for me. I was like, they turn around that they turn around that quick. Like, that's honestly what I thought. I was like,
honesty,
it was like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, it was pretty fast. I was like, really? Okay.
There's nothing where you used to lie.
Is this necessary?
This conversation has run dry.
That's quick.
It's fast. I think they just heard something maybe unique. I don't know.
But I do. You're a really fantastic. That's not a slight in any way.
No, I literally, I tell people, it's okay. I tell people all the time, like, that's not a good representation of my voice at all, because I was so nervous.
Now, here's some of your hip-hop album.
I apologize. I love what's one for the ages, and
here's some from Hey Monday. Here's Candles. You ever listen to that?
No, I don't.
Never?
I don't. I can't.
Why?
Because I'm like embarrassed by my writing.
You always should be. Okay, here's what I wrote. I'm going to tell you about something I wrote in my book. If you don't have to even be creating. If you're making.
Yeah.
And that's progress. If you're making progress, we're in a creative field. But you don't have to be in a creative field to make progress at something. If you are working and you're making progress at something and you're not able to look back and be embarrassed at something you did a year ago, 2 years ago, then you are not moving in the right direction.
Sure, yeah.
You should always look back and go, oh, because the more you're embarrassed of it, the more you've grown.
Yeah, oh, totally. I can't believe I wrote a song called Candles. Blow the candles out. Looks like a solo tonight. I'm beginning to see the light. That was the chorus.
That sounds pretty good to me. Yeah, I mean, oh, yeah. What do I know? That sounds pretty good.
Toe night, sorry, toe night.
Blow the candles out.
About the melody,
it's
though.
It's a toe night. right.
Yeah, nah, don't give yourself a hard time. This is called Homecoming.
I'm coming home,
You ever think about getting together for like a Hey Monday reunion show?
You know what's crazy? I ran into the guitarist Mike Gentile for the first time in probably 8 years the other night at a Basement East, and we were talking about how next October is the 10-year anniversary of that album.
What's everybody doing?
He is doing syncs for
his building syncs.
He's building syncs. No, his songs.
I literally thought that's what you meant, dude. I thought he was installing syncs somewhere.
Sinks.
I was like, good for him.
It's like when you when your music gets placed in like a commercial or something. He's killing it with that. He's got his songs, and he just had a song in the Cars movie and stuff. So he's good. He's doing great. He's really good. He's showing me some stuff he's producing, but he's awesome. And then the other guitarist is doing kind of the same thing in West Palm Beach. He's doing like producing some rappers in West Palm and stuff. The drummer is, he and I don't keep in touch very much. Elliot has some sort of like design company. I could be so wrong on this, so he's going to kill me. But yeah, everybody's doing great.
Were you the reason the band broke up? They mad at you?
Yeah. No, they were at first. Yeah. And we had a tour to do after. I like tried to make it so they had time to find other gigs. And we went to Brazil together, and it was like a torturous trip because I knew they all hated me, and we were like,
did you already tell them you were breaking?
Yes.
So you told them, did the shows to give them time to find other work.
Yes.
And you stopped the band because you weren't.
We left the label. We left Columbia because they didn't care anymore, and I was like, this is a bad situation. We got out. We usually had a tour booked every year, like a year in advance. We had nothing booked. I was paying everything out of pocket at that point. I hadn't had the success I have now, so
you were running the band too.
I was running it. Yeah. I was running everything, and I was like, I can't afford it. A and B, I don't want to be, you know, like 28 and still in this band and still struggling. Like I'm gonna make it with or without this band. Like I believe in myself. I would love to do it with you guys, but this doesn't feel right, and like I gotta go. And so, I mean, I was brutally honest with them. I was like, this just isn't working. And it took a while for everybody to kind of get over it, and there's a lot of shit talking when I was on The Voice and stuff, because I didn't leave the band for The Voice even. I left the band just to leave the band. I was like, this isn't it, and moved to LA, tried to do a solo thing, did an EP with my friend Gavi that I just mentioned who passed, and I put it out so I could like, I got it out right before The Voice because I was like, oh my God.
Because they lock you up on The Voice. Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I can sell it. And it like paid off so much, so many debts, so much, like my rent.
So really, so you got out in time.
Yeah.
And then people bought it while you were on The Voice. That's because I have a friend who went on The Voice somewhat recently, and she had music.
Natalie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she couldn't put it out.
Yeah.
And I know. Then it was like, then you have to wait another X amount of days after you're off to put it out.
And you don't really and own then you, it.
Well, with her, she had recorded it before.
Oh, so she...
Yeah, it was her music, but they don't let you put it out in your window from when they come to you. Because she was one of the special. Like, they recruited her.
Right, right.
And she did it. She's like, okay. And then she did it. And she can't put anything out for like 3 months prior because she's locked in a hotel room. And then she can't put it out during the show, and she was just able to put it out like last week or whenever she had wine or whiskey.
Right.
And so,
I kind of was like, well, if people see me and they go and they look me up, they're going to see
that's
Hey
awesome.
Monday, and that's going to be going to Columbia, so might as well try and get something out that's mine. So that was nice.
Here's one of those old songs that you did. Here you go.
There's nothing where you used
Dang
to
it.
Lie.
Dang
this
it.
Conversation has run dry.
Every time she's like, oh, you found that.
I was a little too young and a little too dumb to
it's 11.
The day it would come when dad would drive away and take his love with him. So I grew
so crazy.
Up
what is?
I just feel like my voice has changed so much.
Puberty, man. Change. I don't know if you watched Brady Bunch or if you ever did watch Brady Bunch.
Oh, man. When he was going... Who was going
Peter.
Oh, my gosh. Poor guy.
Now, listen. I wasn't alive when the Brady Bunch was on, but I watched reruns.
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure everybody knew that.
Well, it wasn't black and white still when you were a kid.
All right. Listen. Good talk. We've been talking for how long, Mike?
Hour 8.
It's pretty,
hey.
It's pretty good. Didn't he feel like
hey.
It?
No.
I'm a treat to talk to.
I am
with
a
Mike's
treat.
On. Mike's off? Terrible.
I'm delightful.
I got nothing to say when the mics are off. I'm like, hey, how are you? I'm good. Mike's come on. Hey, everybody. Welcome. Woo!
That's not true.
We're having a good time.
We're having fun.
What we've learned is it's a new start.
Yeah.
And people could be listening to this next year because these things live forever. But if you're listening to this now, which is before February of 2018, that's probably when new music's coming out.
Yeah, most likely.
And you're going to be doing it independently still unless somebody comes and gobbles you up.
Yeah, which, yeah, I don't really care. I want to do it independently because I've never gotten to, I haven't been able to in so long. It feels good.
And you will be reading Bare Bones.
I will. Simultaneously during all of this, yes.
No, you read that in like a week. Okay. Are you a fast reader?
Nope.
Oh. You read it like a week in a day.
I like get distracted by everything and anything. My dog, like the car driving by, it's a problem.
Where are you standing?
I'm sitting
where are cars driving by?
In the street, reading.
All right. at Cassidy Pope, let me ask you a question. This is a good question. You put out a picture like 2 months ago maybe. Mm-hmm. And you were like in a crop top and you were standing next to an old Ford.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And was that a hate to the ex-boyfriend? Like, I'm in shape. I'm putting this picture out for the world. Because no new music came and we were debating about this. Like,
no.
Why were you next to that old truck? Like, what?
So that is the photo shoot for this new music. And I kind of wanted it to be like a nod, like, hey, there's a new era coming.
But you didn't say that. You just put the picture out.
Yeah.
Okay. Next time, you got to say new era coming or something.
I know, but I also...
Because we're all like, she's trying to stick it to her ex. No. That's what most of America felt like.
Oh, I didn't want that. I mean, no. I wanted people to see, like, yeah, I cut my hair. I got a different vibe going. And I didn't know that when the music would be coming out. So, the word I hate... When, like, I've teased music in the past and then it never came. And fans were like, well, whatever happened to that? So I didn't want to, like, mislead. So I just... But I like the picture.
Remember that picture?
I do.
Yeah, we talked about it. Lunchbox will not stop talking about
it.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
Well, because we were like, what is she trying to say? Interpret this picture.
Hey, everybody can read it the way they want to read
that's
it.
That's right. All right. That's good to see you.
You too.
At Cassidy Pope on all the stuff, right?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Totally.
That's it. And, I've just been handed this. Oh, check this out. This is,
Used to lie. This conversation has run dry.
Dang, look at that.
That's like
pretty good. Wow. We'll see you. We'll see you soon.
Yeah,
we'll probably see you on the big radio show soon. But okay, well, that's it. Episode
94.
And thanks to our sponsor,
Sleep Number.
Oh yes, Sleep Number. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next time. Bye.